This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark AmTower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. AmTower Off-Center with your host, Mark AmTower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark AmTower. My guest today is Web 2.0 guru and one of the most in-demand marketing and social media speakers in the world, David Meerman Scott. David, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Mark. It's great to be here. Always great talking to you.
And you. I always learn a tremendous amount. And one of the reasons we're here today is you have yet another new book that we'll get into. But for those of you who don't want to wait, the book is Newsjacking. It is an ebook only. And yes, I am now reading an ebook. And believe me, it's worth it. I love my hard copy, but this, if you can only get it ebook, get this book. Get it, use it. David, so it's been, we first talked, I guess, maybe 4 years or so ago, which was maybe a year and a half, 2 years after your mega bestseller, The New Rules of Marketing and PR, which is now in its third edition?
Yeah, New Rules is now in its third edition. It's published in over 25 languages, from Bulgarian to Vietnamese. And I'm actually now working on the fourth edition, which will be coming out the middle of 2013.
Cool.
Yeah.
And it's funny you should mention Bulgaria, because I happen to know that you're going to head over there shortly to do a keynote in your 33rd country.
That'll be the 34th, actually. Yeah. It's, you know, I just love international speaking engagements. I love doing business internationally. I lived in Asia for 10 years. I was in Hong Kong.
You were a model.
I was a model in Tokyo for part of that time, but mainly I was working for a company called Knight Ridder in Tokyo. And I lived in Hong Kong. I lived a little short period of time in Australia. So having a chance to get to all sorts of interesting countries is great. So they publish my book in these languages, and I'm invited to speak. So, yeah, I'll be in Bulgaria next week. 2 weeks ago, I was in Calcutta, India, and also in Dubai, United Arab Emirates. And,
got to go on that roller coaster.
You know what I did? On the same day, I went to the top of the world's tallest building. I rode, and you learned this because I was on Twitter, I rode on the world's fastest roller coaster, and then I went skiing at the world's largest indoor ski mountain.
Were you tweeting?
All on the same day.
were you tweeting during any of those activities?
During, no, but I did tweet all of them.
Yeah, I can imagine you trying to type going, what,
240 kilometers per hour. It goes from zero to 240 kilometers per hour in 4.2 seconds. Now that is acceleration.
How many G's is that?
It's over 2, they say.
My gosh.
It was great.
Well, better you than me.
It was great.
All right. So what's new with the new rules? I mean, you're working on the new edition, but just to give a little background to everybody, a lot of people know my activity on LinkedIn. It wasn't until 2007. I've been on LinkedIn since 2004, but it wasn't until I read David's book in 2007 that I got off my butt and developed an actual strategy for leveraging social media. So what's new were the new rules?
Well, what's not new is that all the way back to the first edition that came out in 2007, the new rules are about reaching your buyers, reaching your potential customers by creating content on the web and engaging with people on the web. So you rightly say you developed a strategy for using LinkedIn and for reaching your buyers, and it worked great for you, Mark. And that's the idea of the new rules of marketing and PR. Prior to these ideas, we either had to buy advertising or we had to convince the media to write or broadcast about us. where we had to hire a sales team to make cold calls. And those all those three strategies still exist. People are still spending money on advertising, still spending money on public relations efforts, and still spending money on sales forces. Not that any of those are going away, but the new way that is, for a lot of people, kind of scary, is that you create content on the web, publish it out there, and people will find it. So the strategies that I talked about haven't changed at all, zero, since 2007. What continues to change, though, are the tools. So the first edition, when it came out, Twitter didn't even exist when I was writing the manuscript for the first edition. Facebook at that time was only for students. I mean, imagine that. Back in the day, we couldn't, you or I couldn't even get onto Facebook. So,
and LinkedIn wasn't on many people's radars.
Right, and not very many people were using LinkedIn yet. So what continually changes is that I have to talk about new tools. For the fourth edition I'm writing now, I'm writing a section on Google Plus, because Google Plus didn't exist when I was writing the previous edition that came out last year. And Instagram and Pinterest are also things that I'm writing about, two new social networking tools.
Cool. So it's the new tools of marketing.
Pretty much. Yep, pretty much. I also update the case examples. The book is driven by examples of success.
Yeah, your stories are great.
I'm always putting in new examples and removing the older and dustier ones so that anybody who reads a new edition has read a previous edition is going to get a lot of new stuff. I had a number of my followers tell me that they've read every edition. read the book three times, coming up on a fourth is pretty awesome.
No, I'm in that group.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that.
Well, so, I like your stuff, David.
Thank you. I got to have enough new in there that you don't go, oh, my God, I read this stuff before.
No. I mean, I'll go back and read some of the earlier ones because, some of the examples just still make me laugh.
Yeah.
The guitar, United Air.
Oh, that's such a fantastic example.
It's a great story.
Yeah, it's a great story.
Have you been back in touch with that kid?
Has he
retired from all the money he made?
His name is Dave Carroll, and many of your listeners will have known about this story. He's a singer-songwriter. He was going from his home in Halifax, Nova Scotia, to a gig in Nebraska, and his guitar got broken by United Airlines. He spent a year trying to get compensation for it. And to no joy. And finally, he resorted to writing a song about how United Airlines broke his guitar. That song's got 15 million YouTube views the last time I checked.
Yeah, it's right up there with Susan Boyle.
It's huge. 15 million views is huge.
And there were three songs, actually.
Yeah, he did three songs, but the first one had 15 million views. And so what the interesting thing that it did was it launched two new careers for Dave. So he was a singer-songwriter and he had his own band. But the second career it launched for him is that he's now advising companies and actually doing presentations about customer service. and then the second thing is that he's writing songs for other singers. Because so many people loved that song, United Breaks Guitars, song number one, that they said, I should get this guy to write a song for me, too. And the song briefly went to number one on the country music section of iTunes. So, it did make him some money. But he's still out there, still cranking it out.
Yeah, and, the band wasn't extraordinary, but that song and the video that goes with it was just a hoot.
Oh, it was fantastic, yeah. And it just shows, it just shows how the power of a piece of online content, in this case it's a video, or it could be a blog post, or it could be an ebook or a white paper, or it could be a photograph or a chart or an infographic. All of these forms of content, the power is it has the potential to reach so many of your potential customers. In the case of Dave Carroll's video, it reached 15 million people.
Let's pick this up on the other side of this break, because I want to talk about United's response to this, too. So you're listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is David Meerman Scott. The new book is News Jacking. It is an e-book. Get it, read it. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is a Web 2.0 guru and just a dynamic speaker on all aspects of marketing, David Meerman Scott. David, we were talking about Mr. Carroll and his video on YouTube. Talk about the response from United.
More like the non-response. I mean, imagine that somebody has done a video, and it's negative. Although in a humorous way, it's negative about your business, and that's exactly what happened to United Airlines. Is Dave Carroll did this video called "United Breaks Guitars," and in it, he shows how the United Airlines employees are breaking his guitar, and so. The thing about it is that United was completely dark about it. They didn't say anything. They didn't respond at all. They didn't do anything. And that's a typical big company approach.
And this was up until there were maybe almost a 500,000 views on YouTube.
No, quite a bit more than that. Okay. Millions of views.
Okay.
It was for the first months. No, there was no reaction from United at all. And this is a typical big company approach, right? The typical big company approach when there's something that's perceived as negative is for them to say no comment, you know, for them to just walk away from the problem and assume that, you know, that people won't know about it. That's the sort of reaction that was useful in some cases, but not all, and sometimes when you were talking about mainstream media. But in a world of social media, when anybody can blog or tweet or put something on Facebook, anybody can see the video for themselves. You know, no comment is not a savvy answer. It's a stupid answer. Because what it shows is that they're not human. It shows that they don't care. It shows that they could that they're not interested in engaging with people in the forms that they want to engage in this case, social networking. So what a lot of people say to me is, well, David, you know, they don't want to admit that they broke the guy's guitar. They don't want to provide compensation, because anybody who had a guitar getting broken is going to want compensation. And that's true. They're, just because they don't want to say, sorry, we broke your guitar, here's $1,000 to repair it, doesn't mean that they shouldn't respond. So all they have to do is respond like a human being. Now, here's what I would have done. Since United Breaks Guitars was a YouTube video, I would have done my own YouTube video if I had been at United Airlines. I probably would have had a baggage handler narrate a quick video on how bags are handled at Chicago O'Hare Airport. Maybe the baggage handler could make it funny. Maybe the United baggage handlers could do their own song. But do something to respond and be a part of the social network. When everybody is talking about you and you're not a part of the network yourself, for a huge number of people, you just don't exist. You're the big bad corporate entity that doesn't care.
The black hole.
Yeah.
Okay. I love that story. Within the last year or so, you had not been on LinkedIn prior, and there were a number of reasons. One primary is that when I asked you originally 3 or 4 years ago why you weren't on, you said you can only do a certain number of things and do them really well, and LinkedIn wasn't where the majority of your audience was, which was accurate. But earlier this year, for a variety of reasons, you got on LinkedIn. How's that going?
Well, actually, there's a couple of reasons I was not on LinkedIn. And I did say the primary reason is because I cannot be on all the social networks. I have my own blog. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I have a YouTube channel. I have a Vimeo channel. I've poked around with Tumblr a little bit, but I don't update it very often. And I love, I'm in on Instagram pretty frequently. I love Instagram. I'm on Foursquare. And I just said, you know what? I just can't do everything. And I really, thanks to you, because you were extremely helpful. I'd been resisting LinkedIn for a long time, and people started to get to the point where they're like, what do you mean you're not on LinkedIn? Are you crazy? I mean, it's a great tool. So thanks to your help, I did jump onto LinkedIn. It was probably about 7 or 8 months ago. And yeah, so far it's been great. I have quite a few connections. I reached the 500 number. I don't know.
You can tell me. The 500 number in like 3 weeks.
Yeah, like 3 weeks or something. I don't know why I don't know what the 500 number is, but some magic number.
Well, that's where they stop posting how many connections you actually have.
Oh, I see. Yeah, so I reached that in like 3 weeks. And I have connected with quite a few people I used to do business with, which is really nice. Mm-hmm. And I've connected with quite a few people who like my work, you know, have read my books or seen me at a speaking gig or something, which is also really great. So yeah, it's been valuable. The other thing that I think is valuable is, and again, thanks to you for providing this suggestion, is I've gotten a number of people who have booked me to speak to provide a recommendation on my speaking techniques and how my presentation was for their group.
Some of those are really good, too.
Yeah, and some of them are really good. So I think that for people who are investigating whether they want to have me speak or not, you know, who might want to pop over to LinkedIn and see what my profile looks like, the fact that I've got a number of recommendations from their peers, you know, other conference organizers, I think is beneficial. So sort of a bottom line ROI, the amount of work it took was minimal, because I basically copied and pasted some of the information from some of my other profiles online. I didn't have to do much net content creation. So the amount of work required versus the payoff is
you
very
repurposed
positive.
Content?
Yeah.
What a radical concept.
Every time I write my bio, I start from scratch. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's been valuable.
Cool. I want to get into to newsjacking, and we're going to start in this segment and then just continue.
Sure.
But, you know, the number one, did you coin that term?
I did not coin the term. Somebody else coined the term, and there were several references to newsjacking on Google when I did a search for newsjacking. But I definitely popularized the term. I mean, now there's on my Google alerts, newsjacking as a term pops up all the time. So it's pretty amazing how much it's taken off as a term. Fortunately, I bought the URL, and so I've got the top search result for the term newsjacking.
Oh, speaking of URLs, let's give your the webinknow.com is David's
that's my blog. Yeah, webinknow. And if you want to learn a little bit more about newsjacking that we're going to be talking about now, just Google the term newsjacking, and you'll find www.newsjacking.com up there at the top, and you can learn a little bit more about the book there.
Yeah, but it's not a tremendously long book, so I also strongly suggest you spend all of I think it's $7 to get it at Amazon.
Yeah, it's not expensive, and it takes, you know, most people say it's way less than 2 hours to finish reading it.
I did it
as an ebook. It's on the Amazon Kindle platform. It's on the iPad Apple platform. It's on a number of other the Barnes & Noble platform. It's on a bunch of the different e-reader platforms. And for a lot of reasons, I wanted to push it out in an electronic e-book format. And, you know, the concept of newsjacking is fascinating. It's how you can inject your ideas into a breaking news story in order to have the media find it and then write about you. And it's just a tremendous opportunity.
It is. And, you know, you and I have talked about this prior to the show, but without knowing what it was, I've kind of been doing this for a while. And it really does. If you have an opinion and you're a little bit ahead of the curve when this stuff breaks, you can get some tremendous exposure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely you can. It's almost like magic. And the reason it works is because when a story is breaking, journalists are scrambling to find sources to quote in real time because they have to write their story very, very quickly. And so if you create a blog post or you create another piece of content that gets indexed by Google, and by the way, Google indexes in real time. If you do a blog post right now or you post a YouTube video right now, it's indexed instantly. So if you create a blog post about a breaking news story, push it out there, it'll get indexed instantly. And if you use some clever keyword techniques, when a reporter enters the phrase that he or she is looking for as they're beginning to do the research about the story they're writing, bang, your stuff pops up. And you can get quoted without them even contacting you because they're looking for information and they'll find it and they'll talk to you.
Cool. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest today is David Nierman Scott. The book is Newsjacking. Pick it up, read it. Actually, you can't pick it up. Download it, read it, and use it. Back after these messages. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. My guest is David Nierman Scott. David, during the break, you mentioned that there was some sort of newsjack involved with the United Breaks Guitars.
Story. Absolutely. Remember, United Breaks Guitars, Dave Carroll gets his guitar broken, and United refuses to offer compensation. So he writes a song and puts it up onto YouTube with 15 million views. Well, the guitar that got broken was a Taylor guitar made by Taylor Guitars. Bob Taylor started the company when he was 18 years old in his parents' garage. It's grown really quickly since then, 30 years later. And so what Taylor Guitar did was they made a video, put it up onto YouTube instantly. And that's one of the keys with newsjacking, is that you have to get your content out there as quickly as possible for people to find it. And in the video that Bob Taylor made, he talked about how to travel safely with your guitar. He published the TSA, U.S. Transportation Security Agency, guidelines for traveling with a guitar and provided tips for how to pack the guitar, and also included the fact that you can actually carry it on, and that if the flight attendants bar you from going on, you have a printout of the TSA guidelines in your hand and show them that they should allow the guitar onto the plane. Now, this video, it took them 2 hours start to finish to make the video, from the concept to the storyboarding to the shooting to the posting on YouTube. So it was almost no time at all. They pushed it out within a day or two of United Breaks Guitars coming out. Last time I checked, it had 550,000 views, and members of the media wrote about it because as they write their story, the first thing they write about is United. Dave Carroll did this song about United Breaks Guitars because his guitar got broken. The second thing they write about is United Airlines didn't comment, which is stupidly they didn't say anything, but they should have, because they would have then been the second paragraph. And the third paragraph becomes, oh, by the way, here's how you travel safely with your guitar, courtesy of Bob Taylor of Taylor Guitars. And now all of a sudden he's getting quoted all over the media as a result of this, and his YouTube video climbs to 550,000 views, all of that leading to more and more people understanding about Taylor Guitars driving his business. And he told me that his business was up substantially in the year that he did that, not necessarily because he did that particular thing, but because he does clever marketing like that.
Well, he also, did he not make a new case with Carroll's name on it?
No, that was actually a different company. That was called Calton Cases. Because they did a little newsjack themselves. They created a Dave Carroll signature edition guitar case. That's Calton Cases. So the idea was... Yeah, I mean, the idea with newsjacking is so cool. It's the idea that when something's breaking, it breaks really quickly in our world because of all the online things. You know, people tweeting and people posting on Facebook and and online media outlets, you know, outlets like TMZ and Huffington Post and whatnot that are all about speed. And if you have a take on a story, you can push it out there, and then you can become part of the news cycle. It's fantastic.
Well, we're recording this about a week before the election, and it'll air the Monday of election week. No. What's today?
It'll air just before.
A week before. But how is this impacting election news?
Well, there are, of course, there's a lot of things that are happening between the candidates. You know, every time the candidates open their mouth, and I'm talking about the presidential candidates here,
right.
Anytime the presidential candidates open their mouth, people are listening to see if the other side can respond instantly to what the first candidate said. But that's been going on forever. But what's interesting now is that anybody should be listening to what they're saying and can then inject themselves into a story. I'll give you a couple examples. So during the first debate, the candidates talked about Big Bird, right? They were talking about PBS and whether the government should help fund public broadcasting. And I think it was Romney said, you know, I like Big Bird, but I don't want to fund Big Bird. And so, wow, what an opportunity for anything related to Big Bird. And in fact, PBS then can use that as an opportunity for them to raise funds, to generate awareness in the media about what they do, maybe to talk about what percentage of their funds come from various sources. I mean, once somebody mentions you like that, all of a sudden, wham, you've got something to talk about. The other one that came to mind with the second debate was when Romney was talking about how when he was governor of Massachusetts that he requested binders of women to remember that one, right?
Yeah.
It was a fantastic
you
phrase.
Couldn't forget it.
Binders of women. You know, that became a meme all over the internet. But, you know, you do a search on binders for women, there's all sorts of hits. I was talking to my daughter, who's a sophomore in college, and she said, Daddy, did you watch the debates? I said, yeah, I love the debates. It's like sport, you know. I'm not a sports fan. I'm a debate fan. And my first thing out of my daughter's mouth was, can you believe that binders of women quote? And so this is like everyone knows about this. Well, gosh, if you're Staples, the office store, they sell binders. I mean, think of what you can do with that. If you have anything to do with women's rights or equal pay for women, you know, there's all sorts of people who can jump on that, because whenever there's a statement like that comes out, then the media looks for angles on that story and people to quote about different angles on that story. And so that becomes an opportunity, but you've got to be quick. I mean, 2 hours later isn't good enough. Tomorrow is no good at all. When something like that happens, you got to get your blog post out there. You got to get your own YouTube video out there. You've got to get tweeting away so that people will see it.
Yeah, you may have a great one, but if you're 10th in line, you're a little late.
You got it. Okay. Exactly.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the skills necessary for newsjacking. What does anybody need to proceed?
Yeah. So the first thing just to mention before I jump into that is that the examples we've shared so far have been examples of very wide-ranging, you know, national and global stories. Dave mm-hmm. Carroll's United Breaks Guitars, the U.S. presidential debates. But newsjacking works just as effectively in niche markets. It works terrifically well for, you know, if you're a B2B company and you're trying to inject yourself into a story. I mean, imagine, for example, the government changes a regulation. Bang, you're the first person to identify what that change in that regulation means. You can get noticed as a result. So the most important thing is that you have to have a mindset that focuses on speed. I call it a real-time mindset. You have to be thinking quick whenever you want to create a piece of content in order for the media to find it. You know, tomorrow's not good enough. And the other thing is that these kinds of stories frequently break at an inconvenient time. I mean, think about the presidential debates. They happen in Eastern time. It starts at 9:30 or 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
I happened to watch the first debate in Calcutta, India. It was 6:30 in the morning when I was watching. You know, so it's inconvenient for the most part. It'll happen on a weekend. It'll happen in the evening. It'll happen on the Friday after Thanksgiving. You know, something will happen, and you won't be in your nice cozy office waiting for it to happen. It'll happen in an oddball time, and you got to jump on it. Because chances are, if it happens on the Friday of Thanksgiving, everybody else is watching football. If you're the one who, you know, gets up from watching football and creates a piece of content, you're the winner.
Yep.
It means that you really need a legitimate angle on the news. You know, you can't just take a story about Justin Bieber and try to newsjack it unless you have a legitimate tie to Justin Bieber in some form or fashion. I've seen a lot of people get excited about the idea of newsjacking and then choose a story to try to draft off of that's totally inappropriate for them. So it needs to be in some way tangentially related to what you do or what your business is or your geography or your marketplace or your area of expertise.
Okay, hold that thought. We're going to pick it up after the break. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is David Meerman Scott. The book is Newsjacking. Pick it up at Amazon for your Kindle or wherever you buy your iPad stuff. The website is webinknow.com. Read this thing. David's writing is not only informative, but it's just genuinely fun to read. David, we've covered kind of the point of view for the skills necessary, the speed. Obviously, there's a knowledge base necessary.
Yeah, you know, the actual concept of newsjacking is dead simple. It's just a matter of creating a piece of content on the web. Usually, text-based content is best. The journalists will find and your customers will find because it's the hot story of the moment. And I'll give you a B2B example, which I love. Joe Payne is the CEO of a company called Eloqua. They're in the marketing automation software business. And Joe had to, he was at a dinner meeting and his BlackBerry did its BlackBerry thing and said, "You've got a new message." He looked at it. Turns out his biggest competitor had been acquired by Oracle. The company's name is Market to Lead, was acquired by Oracle. So Joe did a search on Google right there and learned that there was only one story on the entire web about the merger, and it was the official announcement from Oracle.
And it was buried.
And it was this crazy little three-sentence announcement that didn't provide any, typical terms were not disclosed, kind of corporate gobbledygook announcement. So Joe quickly went back to his hotel room and wrote and again, I talked about it on the last segment. You know, these things are never convenient. He was out at dinner at a restaurant in a city he doesn't live in. So he ran back to his hotel room and wrote a blog post called Oracle Joins the Party, talking about how great it is that this giant software company called Oracle is now part of the marketing automation software business, and it legitimizes the business. He provided quotes, he provided he provided data. And then over the next few hours, he was quoted by virtue of doing this blog post in Business Week and in PC World and Information World and a bunch of other publications. And then he did something else very clever. He went into their marketing database and sent a link to the blog post he wrote to all of the people who are tagged in his database as having been a customer of Market to Lead. So then, interestingly, because Oracle was working off the old traditional, I'll tell you when I'm good and ready playbook, the way that their customers found out that Market to Lead was acquired by Oracle in many cases was from the competition, from Joe Payne's blog post.
How cool is that?
Yeah, I mean, how cool is that is right. And as a result of doing this, a lot of those companies then wanted to engage with Eloqua to see, hey, maybe you guys can help me. I don't know if I want to be working with this giant software company. And this one blog post that took Joe Payne, you know, about an hour to do, generated over $1 million in new revenue for Eloqua. You know, B2B software company, revenue's about $60 million. $1 million worth of new revenue in one blog post.
That's brilliant.
It's fantastic.
It really is.
It's fantastic.
Okay, so I do this with some regularity.
Yeah.
But I get feedback of wide variety. What are the downsides? What's the negatives here?
The negatives. Well, you know, the biggest negative actually isn't a negative at all. A lot of people say, well, you know, what happens if the journalists don't find my information? And in fact, that's going to happen to you over 90% of the time. If you're a typical person trying to get the journalist to find your stuff, you know, it's not going to happen. So you're going to find a clever opportunity. You're going to do everything right. You're going to get the blog post out quickly. It's going to be full of keywords. You know, you'll tweet it out there, and there's no journalist will find it. And that's okay. It's not a negative because you've still put out a valuable blog post for people to read. So don't sweat it if you didn't get quoted in the Wall Street Journal the next morning. So what a lot of people perceive to be a negative, I don't think is a negative at all. However, there is a potential pitfall, and that is that you never want to try to newsjack a story which is perceived to be extremely negative by people. And in particular, anything that has to do with death or human misery or, you know, things like that, you have to be very, very careful. Or if a company goes bankrupt, you know, you have to be very, very careful with those sorts of things. An example is about a year ago or a little bit more maybe, during the Egypt uprising, during the Arab Spring, Kenneth Cole, the designer, tweeted using the Egypt uprising hashtag, he tweeted, hey, the reason that they're protesting is, I mean, sorry, the reason they're so excited over in Egypt is because they heard about our new spring collection. And and people died in Egypt. You know, that was some serious business going on. They were talking about a revolution. Not a good idea. The other reason that that didn't work, besides being the, you know, focused on, there's some connotations of death, it also didn't work because there's absolutely no connection between Kenneth Cole, the designer, and Egypt. There, you know, there has to be some sort of connection. So you don't want to get hung up with people in social media think that you're being exploitative about a story that in some way, you know, people think it's inappropriate for you to comment on, particularly if it involves human misery.
Yeah, and would it be correct to assume that people who are blogging on somewhat more regular basis or have an e-newsletter that comes out regularly, or they're involved in social media proactively, are these people likely to be at least, you know, maybe a little more recognized by some people, niche news people in particular? But does that add to credibility, and does that add to the newsjacking?
Well, there's two components here. If you're already a known quantity to the media, like you are, for example, Mark, you know, if the story comes out, you know, there's already members of the media that know you're a go-to person for certain topics.
Mm-hmm.
You could be in stories based on your area of expertise with or without newsjacking. But people who the media don't know can make it into stories too, and that's the beauty of newsjacking. And yes, the more successful a blog you have, the more likely you are to be able to be seen by the journalists for a very important reason. And that important reason is the more popular your blog is, the better the search engine optimization of your blog is, the more the better that Google indexes the posts that you do, the better chance that a journalist will see it. So if you've just started blogging, you know, this month and you have no inbound links and you create a blog post about a topic, it's unlikely to climb very high in the search results. But if you've been blogging for 5 years and you have some, you know, some decent results with your blog, you're generating some traction with your blog, and people are linking to your blog, and then you write a blog post in order to get the journalist to find it, it's highly likely that blog post will get indexed quite highly in the search results, and much more likely that a journalist will find it. But this is where it's really exciting to be newsjacking, is you don't ever have to have met that reporter before. And I'll give you just a real quick example in my own case. After that Big Bird stuff that came out in the first presidential debate, I did a little tweet about Big Bird. I said, you know, how funny, you know, people are talking about Big Bird. I wonder if anyone's going to newsjack Big Bird. And I got a quick email from a reporter at Time Magazine, and I ended up getting quoted in Time Magazine about how PBS should be newsjacking the story. So I newsjacked a story about how PBS should be newsjacking Big Bird. I just thought that was a clever kind of big circle to close.
Cool. David, thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure, Mark. Always great to talk to you.
The book is Newsjacking. Get it, read it, and use it. It's truly a DIY dream. And David, I think of this more like jujitsu for social networking.
Yeah, right, it's like an unfair advantage. It's fantastic.
If you use it right, can be very cool. Thanks again. This is not my day job. If your company needs to ensure your marketing program is paying top dividends, give me a call. You can find me at federaldirect.net. I suggest you take a look at my blog while you're there. And thanks for listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off-Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.